Square Ball Podcast.
We're back with another member show. Hello to you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope, by the way, that you're enjoying the new glow up of the website. I think that's the modern parlance, isn't it? Michael and Dean joining us here on the show.
Both of us did a lot of work on that website.
Oh, my
God. Done us. Yeah. Pat on back.
And for the first time, it's not just a promise that it's going to be different. It is different now.
Yeah.
You've been saying for weeks that things are going to change.
And we've been cooking.
Been cooking, baby.
Right.
So yeah, it's a special Yeboah away kit, blue and green themed members area.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to thesquareball.net/plus, make sure you're logged in and you'll find a button there for the match ball link. So you won't find a video embed anymore. It's just going to be there behind the button. The feedback button is there. All sorts of stuff. You get the TSB Plus podcast feed as well. So if you want to add it to your player, it's there.
Also, if you remember, you'll be getting
buttons galore.
Absolutely loads of discounted merch because there's new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's already new stuff and there's more new stuff to come.
Yeah.
Because we've been promoted.
Yes.
In case you didn't know. This is the first one we've done in a while without Jeopardy, because generally we record at this point and there's some question about like what's going on in the world of Leeds United, and we don't yet know that we've drawn two all with Swansea, for example. And it's massively misplaced,
so
some
what,
of the stuff.
What will have happened then? So the other teams will have played by now, but we haven't. We play tomorrow as this will go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So Burnley have Are they at home? No, they'll be away at QPR, aren't they?
So Sheffield United travel to Stoke, Burnley go to QPR.
Yeah, so Sheffield United have got a real brave 0-0 there.
Yep. I think
they've done well. As we've seen, Stoke have got a tight defence and Burnley still pissed, have lost 3-0. So we just need to win.
No, QPR are beating 5-0 because they beat us 4-0 last season. So just make sure that they're one-upped.
We do like to timestamp this. So we're recording this just after propaganda on Thursday. So we're now 3 days on from the biggie. I asked on propaganda if you were still riding the wave, chasing the dragon. Had you re-entered normal society yet? The feeling was a couple of hours ago you hadn't. I still don't feel like I have. Just sitting here talking to you boys, it's only just reminded me what a nice time we had on Monday.
I'm kind of putting propaganda together felt grounding again. I was like, okay, this is like a bit of normal working week. To an extent now. If you,
I mean, you say work.
I'm aware saying a working week is stretching it. It's like when my wife's like, I've been nagging me to do something. I'm like, I'm working. And I'm sat just watching YouTube. But it is, but I do need to do it. Like people do sort of expect it. So it does need to be done. Yeah. But I appreciate it doesn't look entirely like work because I'm just editing out silences of some people being upset or something is what I'm generally
still,
doing.
It's entertainment is working it.
Exactly.
I was sat around yesterday editing the Baron Cross episode that you guys did yesterday, and I was just consuming it as a fan. I text Dan, I was like, this is so good because you're all so giddy. Baron was giddy. Baron is a Leeds United fan, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
He's heading that way. But it did feel quite strange to be reflecting on Monday because I still kind of want to be in Monday.
Yeah.
I still kind of want to have that feeling.
I sort of am headspace-wise.
Yeah.
But the event, the drinking in the street, what woke nonsense. I'm not allowed to go drink in the street anymore.
Ridiculous.
During the daylight hours. Yeah, it's just brilliant. It was just, all of it was brilliant. We, like, I don't know if we mentioned even on the shows, but the way we timed it, like we did the Daft live stream and then finished, then walked up to Elland Road because obviously we've sent out a lot of posts from here, merchandise, and we've got a load of Royal Mail bags. And they're quite robust, aren't they, the Royal Mail bags?
Yeah, I've borrowed one or two to go to the tip before because you can hold some good, like, spiky garden waste can go in a Royal Mail bag.
Yeah, so it's like a bit of a burlap sack type feel about it, isn't it? Proper, like, robust plastic thing. And we just chucked a load of beers into the Royal Mail bags and went up to the low fields. And honestly, the instant we set them down on the pavement, on the road, on Lowfields Road, the players came out and they're like, the timing could not have been any better.
I think people, but you know, I've seen aerial footage of it now because it didn't feel all that crowded where we were.
No.
I think people were far more at the other end looking at the aerial footage, like around the statue, because where we were felt like there's loads of space.
I suppose there would have been quite a lot of overspill from the Peacock, though. People would have been around there drinking and then sort of gravitated that way.
I think maybe people didn't realise how much room there actually was down the far end, kind of thing.
And apparently the police had advised the players to go to either side of the East Stand steps so that it wasn't just one crush to get in front of one.
So the squad was bifurcated.
Exactly that.
Okay.
That's a $10 word for someone like you.
It is for somebody who was quite heavily drunk on on Monday.
What does it actually mean?
Split in two. Like if you've got like a, like, you know, if you've got a hose pipe and it splits into two at the end, that's bifurcated. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're thinking of bifurcated penises here, aren't you?
No.
There are some animals with them.
All right.
Bringing it back down to the normal member show level.
Can you name three?
No.
Okay.
Michael. He's one of them.
He's got a bifurcated penis.
I know what one is. I just didn't know the name for it before, but delighted to know.
Doesn't everyone have one?
Bifurcated. Okay. Let's look for.
But whilst you're doing that, right?
On the work Wi-Fi.
The moment of the day for me was that exact moment that Dan's describing, because it felt so important to be down at Ellen Road to experience that after being good and staying in the house in 2020, to have wrapped up with you gentlemen in here and then walked down. And we were going at some pace as well, because we didn't want to miss the players, setting the beers down. There were the players. And just to sing and dance and be merry for those few hours was just, it felt so important. You're talking about like your wife saying to you, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working. Like it's football is important. No, football is important. That moment was important. Mm. It was cathartic for so many of those fans down there. And I was saying, as I think I said at the end of Propaganda as well, for a lot of the Leeds fans who aren't in Leeds, to be able to see those scenes through us and through various other fan channels and different media that's coming out, must have just been lovely as well. Must have been so great.
I think in some ways it was actually weirdly right that it happened in the way it did, because I think that's kind of how it happened last time when people, and not, I mean, obviously a lot of people were there, but a lot of people weren't as well. But people saw on Twitter the players on the stand steps and kind of thought, I wanted a bit of that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Yeah.
And everyone had a second bite at it this time around.
And I know it's a facsimile of it, but I wasn't there first time, so I don't have that memory.
Mm. Yeah.
So I've got nothing to compare it to. I know some people would have been, but yeah,
maybe it's,
I don't.
You know, maybe it's seeing a band on the reunion tour rather than first time around, but yeah. You know.
But you're fine. Right. A pal of mine, Neil, he's in the Middle East, said to me, so you forget that there'll be a lot of people who kind of in this community who consume Leeds in a different way to the way that we do. We consume it in quite a unique way, but we get to sort of do it together. And he said, the awful way that Michael describes football during COVID is how I watch and consume every game. He basically sits there normally late at night alone because of that sort of 3 or sometimes 4 hour time difference. And it just all then stays trapped in your head afterwards. You kind of got to deal with it yourself on your own, which was what the last promotion was like. I remember I said on one of the shows in the run up to it, like, The Swansea moment and the Huddersfield against West Brom moment, I consume them both on my own.
Yeah,
it's purely anecdotal, but from people who speak to me at games and stuff, the amount of times people will say, oh, I'm a Leeds fan who lives down in Cornwall and I really like that, it kind of makes me feel like I've got some mates who are in Leeds still who can watch football with me, and like, oh, people who are, oh, I've come over from Canada or I've come over from Dubai, like, well, people living all over the place, and it gives them a little anchor back to it, I suppose.
Yeah, it was great. Like, I look back through my WhatsApps around Monday and there's people from Australia, Thailand.
See, I look back at mine.
East Coast.
I just had a string of unreplied to messages. So I was basically just ignoring them. I was like, nah, I'll deal with them tomorrow.
It was quite an entertaining challenge, realising at, I think it was about half midnight, that my phone was down to, I think it was like 1% or 2%, maybe 3% at a push. Because obviously you take lots of photos and all that kind of thing.
I took none.
So I had to get a portable charger out of my bag and didn't have like a cabled portable charger. It was a charging pad. So I sat there in the bar with a portable charger attached to a charging pad with my phone sat on it.
See, I realised when I got to the hotel, I'd put the wrong cable in. I had a micro USB rather than a USB, USB-C, so I couldn't actually charge my phone. Right. Thankfully, I had about 30% left, and it did last me till the morning, thankfully. Right. But you know, you get there and you go, oh, no. Why have I done that?
What time did you get in? Was it about 2 o'clock or something?
I'm actually not that sure.
Yeah, I got in at about 2 a.m. and then woke up on the sofa fully clothed at 7 a.m. when my kids go for school.
But I
went in and I watched the first half on on Sky.
I had a hotel down on Kirksall Road, and I walked back from the middle of town to Kirksall Road, and I remember getting into the hotel room, but then I woke up at 8:15. And I was fully clothed, including my coat, but I didn't have my trousers on.
Okay.
I think I'd gone to the toilet. I woke up, I was like, where the fuck are my trousers? And I was looking around, I thought, where are my jeans there? Where are my baked beans? And I went into to have a shower and they were just discarded on the floor.
I was going to say, I think your brain under those circumstances goes, oh, they'll be here somewhere.
Yeah.
I know they're within this room, it's fine, I'll find them later.
You've only said jeans, but I like to think in a perfect pile in the bathroom with your jeans with your pants still, like, you know, your pants are still inside your jeans when they've been taken off as a one.
A one-er.
I had my pants on still.
That's somewhat disappointing, actually.
And my socks as well. I don't know how the jeans came off. They were just in a fury of probably needing a toilet.
You sort of imagine them, like, that they magic themselves off, or that they're sort of, you know, when you see like a medical drama when somebody gets like collected by an ambulance and they use those medical scissors to cut them off. That sort of, it's a bit like that, but then somebody reassembles them.
It's obviously a more tricky process when you've got a bifurcated penis as well.
Have you found any animals with them?
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
I'll give you a clue. Gary Monk's got one.
Oh, snakes do.
Snakes do,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And
like the tongues, the snakes have the tongues with the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bifurcated tongue. Yeah.
There you go.
Same, depending on whichever way you choose to love your snake, ladies. But it's also reptilian species, and marsupials have got them too.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to
marsupials
know.
Have got a bifurcated penis.
Some of them do, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Many kangaroos and others.
Yeah.
There you go.
Every day's a school day.
Whoa. They've got one on each side of the body.
What? Front and back or left and right?
Michael's just seen a picture because his face changed.
It makes it sound like there'd be one front and back, doesn't it?
Or maybe it means four, front, back, left, right.
Maybe so.
Like a compass of cocks.
There you go. Compass of cocks, there's your episode title.
Well,
yeah.
Well, there you go. You learn something every day, don't you?
And then just to kind of bring it back to my hotel story, I got a shower, went down for some breakfast, and every single table was full of hungover Leeds fans just consuming as many hash browns as they possibly could. And I just looked around, just nodding, thinking, yeah, we did it. Yeah. We did it.
I'm not much of an eater after a hangover.
No. My big mistake on Monday was I realised, I said to my wife, I'm going to have some breakfast because I probably won't get the chance to eat properly later on, but I'll get something when I'm out on the move. I didn't, did I? So I had a late morning breakfast, then came down to the office before I went up to Elland Road and didn't eat again. Just put booze onto an empty stomach, which is never a sensible move.
See, because I'd fully moylined it and I had a nervous trip to Aldi on the morning. I'd got myself a sandwich and a 3-pack of wraps, which I could eat.
A triple wrap. A bifurcated wrap. A 2-pack.
Trifurcated.
Right.
Probably what you call it.
Yeah, you do.
I kind of did all right on that.
When did you eat them though? Did you eat them back at the hotel?
I had one pre-game and then one as we left here.
What did you do with the third one?
No, as in I ate the sandwich pre-game, then I ate three pack of wraps before going back up to the ground.
Well, so you took care of business there.
I did.
My plan, and I texted this to Dan, my plan was to come here after the game and then go check into the hotel and then come back with some beer and a bucket of chicken. And then Dan said, why don't you bring a fishing rod as well and go full round moat? But I didn't. I forgot to get the chicken because I was so excited to get back and watch you guys.
Don't go full round moat, I would say.
I would say go full Gazza.
Full Gazza.
Yeah, it was Gazza.
Full
was
Gazza, yeah.
Attending the Royal Moat, the Rowell Moat, two different things.
Pardon me, I misspoke. But yeah, I didn't. But I didn't bring the chicken because I was so excited to get back in here with you fine gentlemen. I was like, but that was a mistake. That felt like a mistake.
Lack of chicken.
Well, just lack of sustenance. When it got to about midnight and I was stood there, you know, when you can just go, oh yeah, I'm pretty pissed now. To be fair, I felt pissed in here when I was drinking Guinness Zero. It was just the day had overtaken me.
Yeah, someone on Wacko, the Leeds forum, in case anyone doesn't know what I'm on about, had questioned whether I was leathered when we did the live stream, and absolutely not. I'd had two cans, absolute tops, because
no one's ever seen you happy.
I know. It's weird. I think that's what it just threw people. But yeah, I think I'd had one can of delicious Lowfields lager during the first bit of watching the Sheffield United game, then I had to move the van, so I went and did that, and then had maybe a can of something afterwards, but yeah, not much.
I won't claim that we've had a lot to do with the brewing of the beer.
Not a lot, no.
And it is a little bit self-indulgent to say this, but I can't tell you how satisfying and proud I am that I managed to have our own beer while we got promoted.
Next stop, a pub.
You think?
You know, I've always wanted a pub.
I know you have, but I know what sort of pubs you're prepared to frequent.
Cheap pubs.
Yes. So you will impose your ideals on this venue.
And we'll lose money.
Well, and it'll be awful. It'll be full of knife crime.
Whoa, why?
I'm not going to encourage that.
All right, then fine. No knife crime. Meat sales.
There'll be some meat sales, yeah. When I was out in Leeds the other week, I was in my school holiday, so I was in Leeds with the kids, and there was
you took him to the pub?
No, I didn't, but there was some men selling perfume out of bags for life on Brigitte. They were like, what are they doing? It's like they're selling stolen goods is what they're doing. And they're just like bloke going, got any perfumes? Got any perfumes? Yeah, so that sort of thing.
What did you get? Britney Spears.
If they'd have had some steaks, might have done it. But yeah, no, I don't want any perfume.
So I always tend to find I prefer my steak sold out of a bag on the high street, not out of a refrigerator in any way. You know, you don't need that woke nonsense, do you?
Exactly. Let's have a look at the colour of it.
Live and let live.
Steak, when you read the packet, be like, oh, 21 day aged or whatever. Yeah. What better way to age it than in a bag on a precinct? Carried by a drug addict.
And if you're really brave, you can just open that in the street and just tuck into it because it's
tata.
Beef. Yeah, it's all right.
Tata, yeah.
Beautiful delicacy.
Mm.
It's probably quite fancy and continental, actually.
Right.
To be eating uncooked meat on the street.
Yeah. You're really selling it as a lifestyle choice.
Well, you know, if you were doing that on a patio table in Bilbao or something, you could be like, oh, look, look at this fancy restaurant. Look at all this.
Right.
This expensive beef we're eating. You don't even cook it because it's so tender. But if you do it outside a Primark in Leeds, all of a sudden, oh, you look like a bit of an animal.
Yeah, if you do it hunched over on the steps of the City Varieties at 3:45 in the morning, it's different.
It hits different, doesn't it? Yeah, but what a week it's been. And it gets to carry on rolling forward for a bit longer, I think, until the season's over. I really want to crown it with the title, but I don't mind because I know there's the bus parade is coming on Bank Holiday Monday, May the 5th. Which I believe is that the anniversary of getting promoted at Bournemouth the 5th of May.
Oh,
I think so.
Not sure, actually.
Should we smash Leeds up?
We'd save it for Seaside Towns. Well, done it to Plymouth anyway.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of people actually did say to me, are you going down to Plymouth? I was like, it's a bloody long way.
Mm.
But there's part of me thinks, you know, could we get away with the Plymouth Wear Sorry banner like we did with Bournemouth in 1990?
I think Plymouth's not to be fucked with. As a place.
Because it's a proper like dock town rather
than...
Yeah,
Bournemouth I think of as like retirees.
Yeah. And flaming beach huts.
But yeah, I think in Plymouth they'll knock you about if you start pissing around down there.
They'll knock you about.
Squaddies and sailors kicking.
Yeah, it'll be clamped down upon pretty quickly if you start trying to take liberties down there.
Gibraltar's a little bit like that. Have you ever been to Gibraltar?
Only as a kid.
Yeah, me and my mates went on a geography field trip to southern Spain. On our course, the geography.
I'm sure we've discussed this before because I think there was once an episode called Feeding M&Ms to Apes or something.
Right.
Because that's my memory of it. I'm sure there was an episode called that. Yeah. Just triggered it.
You got a little bit of a personal budget per person to go ostensibly do some research. Mm. And we thought, well, let's go as far away as possible as we can. And we went for, I think, either one or two nights in Gibraltar, which was a good sort of couple of hours down the coast. I think we had to get a bus down there, whatever. And normally one of the tutors would come and visit you just to make sure you were getting on all right. But because it was, I think we were only going for one or two nights and it was so far away, they didn't warrant it as being worth it. So we were kind of let loose in Gibraltar, age sort of 19, maybe 20 at this point, with a little kitty of money and very little intent to do research, like geography research. So we made some stuff up about an industrial estate on the edge of town at La Linea, which is just the other side of it's across the border in Spain. Crossed over into Gibraltar and just got leathered, but there was a very threatening air. There's a lot of squaddies knocking about because obviously it's a military base there. Yeah. So like we're just like these little oiky students. Like, well, do you know what? Let's drink our snakebite and black quietly and
the
carefully.
Student-y drink. Does anyone drink that anymore?
Snakebite and black, which is half cider, it's half lager, and blackcurrant.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's actually quite nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dead easy to drink, isn't it?
There was always a rumor when I was in sixth form that it was illegal to sell, and I don't know why it would be.
Mm. So sometimes called diesel as well.
Yes, yeah. Turbo diesel as well if you tip a double vodka in it,
which is
when it got really out of hand. Meant to say, when we were down on the low fields on Monday celebrating Katie, who looks after all the walk admin, mother of the group and all that, was there, and she handed me a can of what was effectively Japanese hooch. Remember hooch? Oh. Like alcoholic lemonade, which I forgot about until the morning after. And yeah, I felt like it was my personal tribute to generational talent Outanaka.
Where did that come from?
Japan.
But I mean, in Beeston, where did that come from?
probably just somebody had imported it and sold it.
Oh. Yeah. Nice.
Nice though.
Was it good?
I think so.
I had it.
Yeah.
There was so much beer swilling around the place, which of course there was going to be. I don't know why it needs to be said, but just the only other equivalent I can kind of think of is at Glastonbury, where people turn up in front of a stage with a box of beer and don't leave until it gets drunk. And it felt like that. And instead of watching some of the greatest music acts in the world, it was Patrick Bamford cheering on Chris Wilder. Beautiful.
So the point of us talking about this, I was going to say, is if we have played a part in you enjoying it, thank you. We appreciate it.
And we're if we soured your experience, I'm very sorry.
We're unapologetic. But it's great, and we are genuinely so grateful that you choose to support us, and hope that we don't let you down too often, which we may have done a little bit on Monday because, you know,
I do think
drinks were consumed, things were said.
I do feel like the match ball was particularly
penises were bifurcated,
shambolic, because I felt like no one had taken proper notes.
But it was a vibe, man.
And we also had the Sheffield United Burnley game on the TV in front of us. So at various points, you got midway through speaking and just kind of went, "Oh, it's fine then, Scott." It was like the then Firpo scored. that was good as well. It's fine. It's a goal kick. It's a goal kick. But you're only really half talking, half watching.
There was a lot of love for your Arteta AFTV meltdown. Mm-hmm. Can you recreate that? Can you remember it?
I can't remember.
You're quite giddy, weren't you?
Like, I was quite.
I'm finished, bro.
It's over, bro. Get him out of our club. A lot of that.
Yeah.
War criminal.
My favorite part of the match ball was the impromptu fire beast.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous, which we now know has changed meaning slightly, but I still prefer the anglification of it.
No. There's something about fire. We've always said he looks gothy.
Mm.
So him being a fire beast, some little...
Sounds like something out of Dungeons and Dragons or something.
Well, I was going to mention, you know, if you go to like Whitby, like the goth shops,
yeah,
we've got like dragons holding crystals and that sort of
you
shit.
You should explain for the benefit of anybody who's abroad, Whitby... was it Bram Stoker's Dracula was written there?
Yeah.
So it's set in the Abbey up on the hill. So it's kind of, it attracts like goth and steampunk people, and that's, it's a good place. It's nice as Whitby.
Yeah.
But yeah, just if you go on certain weekends, it's just full of like people dressed up like they're out of Dracula.
Yeah.
Which is good to see, actually. I like it. But a lot of the shops there as a result of this sell like dragon crystal shit.
Yeah.
It's all like made in China for dead cheap. But it's meant to look like you're fancy and spiritual or gothic in some way.
Right.
And I imagine Farker's maybe got some of that.
What, dragon crystal?
Dragon stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe a wolf fleece.
Yeah. Sorry. Imagine, like, I don't know, he's grinding up rhino horn.
Oh,
or something like that. As an aphrodisiac or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's got a little...
For himself or for others?
He's got a little sexy streak about him, I think.
More than a little.
Yeah.
Look at that hair.
There's a lot of testosterone. Well, there can't be that much testosterone because he's kept his hair.
That is true, actually. Yeah. Whereas for some of us, brimming over with the stuff.
Mr. Bifurcation over there.
It's all gone now, though, sadly.
Rawr.
Do you two get served endless ads? I'm assuming it's just because of my age. Endless ads. Well, you're not on social media anymore.
I've been back.
For testosterone replacement therapy.
Yeah. It's because of your age.
I know. Just get it all the time. I'm like, I'm all right, I think.
Yeah.
But they're just like, oh.
But you'd be like, look at this.
And also, but the thing is, they get you by describing the general symptoms of being like a dad in his 40s are like, do you feel tired? And have you noticed, like, you're like, yeah, of course I do.
I'm a Leeds fan, because I feel tired.
I feel shattered. Like, but do you think this has always been the case? My testosterone's fine. Leave me alone.
I've not got to the age where they're giving me testosterone targeted adverts yet. For some reason in my 30s.
Yeah, five years, Dean.
Yeah, five years. For some reason, I get a lot of camping adverts.
Oh.
Like a lot of tents, gazebos.
A tentman,
yeah. Mm. And I don't mind a little bit of tent porn. Sometimes if I'm feeling a little bit sad, I'll go have a little mooch around, go outdoors and have a little go on the zips and that.
I used to love going to camping shops. Well, it's now we go outdoors, but near where I grew up, it used to be called Mitchell's.
Whoa.
Oh, it was good. When you were a kid and you went down there and they had all the tents, there was a field there with all the tents set up.
Yeah.
You could just run around them.
It's good fun, isn't it?
Great stuff. Yeah. I might do it soon.
I suppose, yeah, the modern analogue of that is gazebos. Mm. I have seen a gazebo. I've got my eye on a gazebo. I want one.
A big one?
No. Just enough to go on the deck.
A pop-up?
Yeah, I think
I've
so.
I've got a pop-up.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
One of the ones which is rigid and you go click and it pops up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I've been eyeing up one that's, it's called a gazebo air.
Oh.
And it comes with like a little electric pump thing and it blows up the stuff and you just put a plug in, pushes loads of air into it and up it goes.
Gazebo air?
Yeah.
Like a MacBook Air?
Yeah.
Because I think that's what you do with those, isn't it? You just pump a lot of air into it and
it inflates
it. And
mine's steel framed.
Right.
Not massively portable, but it's just when you've agreed to do like something and then it's going to rain. Basically, you'd be like, oh, I've got people around.
Being a grillman, I like to cook outside. Mm-hmm. I need something to keep the elements off me now and again.
Get, I've looked in the past at like a proper, a solid frame for that, like an arbor, I believe it's called.
Oh, listen to fucking little Lord Fauntleroy over there.
That'd be fancy, wouldn't it?
Oh, I've been eyeballing an arbor. I'll put it next to the orangery here in Pontefract. Fuck me.
The danger is, I mean, because of where the barbecue is positioned, it'd be like in front of a window, which kind of ruin it a bit.
Because you're such a toff, I hope it catches fire.
I haven't bought one, to be clear. I just kind of looked at one.
Dean looks disgusting.
I think it was about 500 quid as well.
Well, you just said...
Someone's doing well.
I didn't buy it.
You just said where the barbecue's positioned. Is the barbecue in a fixed location at yours?
Yes. I've got a gas barbecue, you see. Which I'm aware is not a real barbecue, but it just lives outside in a set spot.
But that's amazing. I've got one of those little shitty ones that I just drag around so that the smoke's not going to get pushed in. Mm-hmm. Are you the crown prince of Pontefract?
Sort of, yes.
Wow.
You own a lot of the land, don't you?
Yeah, as far as the eye can see, really. Yeah. Certain directions.
Anything the light touches is Normanton Towers.
Anything within the sound of the bells, dear boy. Should we do some clips and stuff? Have people been getting in touch, Dean?
Yeah, they have. They have. We
should nad for half an hour about gazebos, about bifurcated things. Penises, and promotion.
Hey, do you want to start with a quiz?
Oh, go on.
It's from the Cardiff boy. If you've already listened to Propaganda, we've heard him being dead, dead sad.
Yeah.
And that. But he cheered himself up. He went to a non-league game, which he likes to do. So I've got a little quiz for you. How are you going to spell this team's name?
2-1 to bottom of the league, Clwyd Coed.
I'm sorry, what? I'm going to have to play that again.
2-1 to bottom of the league, Clwyd Coed.
Right, so that's Clwyd Coed. So that's C-L-W.
No.
Y? D?
I think it's just L-L.
W-L.
W-L-D.
You're right with the L-L.
Yes.
He does say Clwyd Coed. Right, that's how he says it.
Let me just hear it again.
2-1 to bottom of the league, Clwyd Coed.
Yeah, LL is the sound.
As in a clan fire pull.
Or clan Dudno.
Yeah.
So the start of that is LLWYD.
I got that bit.
COED.
COED. Yeah, that makes sense.
One more time.
2-1 to bottom of the league, Clwyd Coed.
Dean wins. Dean wins.
All right, yes. Well done. You've got a point.
It is a magical kingdom, the Kingdom of Wales.
Yeah.
They just take so many liberties with just that alphabet and that.
I mean, I did mention on one of the shows, I think it was around the international breaks, that I watched a Wales game to see how our boys got on, and it was only on S4C, I think. So it had the Welsh language commentary, but I think Welsh is one of those languages where it never modernises, does it? So it kind of stops at a point. So if there's not a word for it, they just drop the English equivalent in. So it'll be bifurcated penis, kind of thing. So with apologies to our Welsh listeners and subscribers.
Five consonants in a row, though, to start a word.
Yeah.
What a wild business that is.
Shouldn't be allowed.
I mean, it's good in Scrabble, though. Imagine Welsh language Scrabble.
Mm. But yeah, we love the Welsh these days, don't we?
Absolutely.
Very much so.
Absolute heart of our defence.
Yeah. Mm. Ethan Ampadu from Exeter.
Yeah, I know. We can go into it.
From Hull.
I'm pretty sure Cal Darlow's not Welsh, is he? He's only very recently Welsh, in fact, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he discovered his Welsh heritage.
I think it may have played a small part in him getting in our team, because I think it's meant he's got to know Rodon Ampadu better, which probably means they've gone into bat for him a little bit more with Farker, and they've been like, we know Carl.
Mm.
He's good. He's fine. Honestly, please let him play.
And
it'll save Joe being up on a murder charge.
And he has been good and fine.
Yes,
he's been good and fine. He had fuck all to do against Stoke. He dived past the post once, didn't he? That was it. But he's been good and fine.
How many goals have we actually conceded since he's been in net?
Two.
And I don't remember any daftness particularly. There was the punch, obviously, but like none of the stuff off crosses.
No,
they've just not bothered us at all. Have they?
No.
Like, how many games prior to him coming in where long throws and corners were just an enormous problem for us?
We conceded one at Luton. Beat Middlesbrough 1-0, beat Preston 2-1, so he conceded one there. Beat Oxford 1-0, and won 6-0 against Stoke. So he had two goals. Mm.
And neither of them were his fault. And he looks really nice with his sleeves kind of pulled up to three-quarter length.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
I suspect we'll try and sign someone, you know, better for the Premier League.
Yeah. Heard a rumour we're getting the keeper from Mainz.
Oh.
What's his name?
Death goalkeeper.
Okay, excellent.
Mm. We shall see if we're correct.
Is it Robin Zentner?
Yes, it is. That's him.
Oh, okay.
Yep, heard that.
Is he nice and tall?
Heard it here first.
Let's have a look at him, shall we?
Does he have nice big hands?
Oh, he looks reliable.
Does he?
Not dear. He's 30. He's played quite a lot of games. Okay. Maybe that'd be all right. Yeah, seems to have been their first choice keeper for several seasons.
Right, yep, sign him. Get him in.
Fine. Yeah, I think we probably need a better option, don't we?
Yeah, confirmed.
Yeah, and I think where Darlow's concerned, it was just about changing the focus, moving the narrative away from Melier, stopping it being a thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and stop it being a thing in other teams' tactics as much as anything, because just throw it towards him was quite a legitimate way of scoring goals. So yeah.
I do like Mainz, his full name, by the way, which is, it's 1-1 FSV Mainz 05. It feels very German.
Who
we
had from Mainz before? I feel like we've definitely had some overlap here with the Mainz player.
That's like a good question.
I feel like Click played there for a season, or Cock did or something. I'm trying to think of it, what the overlap is.
Gilavogi.
Ah.
Did Gilavogi play for them?
Might have done, yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
There we go.
We solved it.
Question
and
answered.
He's been an absolute roaring success.
Do you know what? I think he possibly has been quite influential behind the scenes.
I've felt...
like the dad of the group.
Because
they're just a bunch of children.
Yeah, it's
true. They really are.
And I have felt weirdly reassured with him on the bench.
Yeah.
Just as a... Particularly in that... It was Ampadu got injured, wasn't it, earlier in the season? And so... And Gruev was still out as well. So there was a bit of thinking, oh, we are pretty thin there. So just having someone experienced come in, even though we didn't really have to see him, apart from playing centre-back, not brilliantly, but just knowing he was there was somehow better than going, oh shit, if he's out, if like Rothwell gets injured or Tanaka, I don't know what we do.
Yeah.
Play Sam Byram there, throw Charlie Crewe in. I don't know what the other option would have been. So just having a nice experienced, friendly face on the bench.
Yeah. Just someone, a grown-up.
A grown-up who just seems so positive and lovely, and would probably get his arm around some of the younger lads to G him up in certain scenarios and stuff. I think there's probably some stories that will come out in the close season about Gilavogi's influence in there, and I'm all for it, because I love that kind of story. Comes in, knowing he's not really going to play that much, but has a lovely calming and joyful influence on the team. Lovely.
Mm.
It's weird as well. I mean, gone up, we can think of him so well. If the season pans out in a different way, you're like, the fuck was that about? Stupid signing. What a complete waste of everyone's time.
Why was he here?
Right, having done over half an hour, should we play the show opener?
Oh, yeah, go
Let's
on,
do
then.
It, yeah.
So this is from Becky. Some show feedback, Dean?
Just a little bit from last week.
Hi, boys. Becky here, the headstress, which sounds really wrong. Anyway, I quite like your cock ring talk and first date antics, so please don't change. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, there we go. Well, seal of approval.
We were, you know...
Is she not a headmasterstress?
No,
what she meant?
She is a...
Oh, she was a psychological
nurse.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Headstress. Headstress, yeah. Covers it off.
But we kind of lent...
Imagine my disappointment, etc.
But we lent really heavy last week into our highbrow intellectualism, but she's just bringing us back to earth and saying, listen, no, you know, what you guys do every week is good, is all good.
Good. I had feedback of people who couldn't believe you two didn't know the difference between a cock piercing and a cock ring.
No, I didn't. I didn't know the difference. I was just playing along.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't.
Did you know?
There you go.
No, I'm very sheltered. And
I was playing along for purposes of content, Michael.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted you to talk about it, basically, because I know you're the funny one, aren't you?
Fair enough. But Dean, actually learned something.
I actually learned something, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've told everyone.
Have you been shopping as your wife?
Told everyone I know.
Gary Monk, as we've learned today, could have both.
Right.
One on each, couldn't he?
Right. Double.
The piercing on one, the ring on the other.
You could have piercings. You could have two piercings.
You could have two and two, yeah. But I suppose you want to have like one of each.
Yeah,
could
vary up a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, make use of the variety, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could dress it up like a Christmas tree at various points of the year, at Christmas. Like you could.
Yeah, Christmas would be the best time.
A little bauble.
Yeah.
And some tinsel, if you've got the bifurcation. No?
Nice use of fingers there, Dean.
Listen, my pleasure.
Right. What next?
I'm gonna deliver a bit of a plea here to the members. I want to know about your experience of promotion, right? So please get in touch, SpeakPipe, because we're trying to put a little promotion special show together at some point. So please do. But
which is even easier now.
Yeah,
we've re-upped the website.
Yeah, and it's all done, and maybe there's the title to come. So please get in touch. We're going to try put something together. But this came in from Rich P on the morning of the game. Just have a listen to this.
I'm sending this message because I'm a bit worried. I've come up from Taunton for the game against Stoke, staying at the Doubletree. Just seen the team get on the bus, now walk to the ground. But Google Maps is sending me down some weird places. There's nobody else around. The road's closed for traffic. But it's worth it.
Has anybody seen him? Do we know if he's all right? Did he make it?
He's currently swimming the canal.
I do know exactly the
he's
road.
He's just got to Skipton.
Terrific.
I know the exact road he's talking about, though, because I walked down it after walking from the travel lodge back to the hotel.
Nice.
It's down by, it's sort of the, you know, the road with cross keys on and stuff. That
yes.
pub.
Yeah, yeah.
If you keep going up there.
Down what line, neck of the woods?
Yeah. If you keep walking away from town down that street, can't remember the name of it. It's got Marshall Mill just off it and stuff. That road ahead there is closed, but it's open for pedestrians because I walked past it the other morning.
It does get a bit Chernobyl-y there down there in parts, doesn't it? Because they're redeveloping it all.
Yeah, and it's the weird bit where kind of old Holbeck meets new Holbeck.
Yeah,
you know, expensive flats meet sex workers. That kind of bit of town.
Yeah,
so podcasters meet sex workers.
Exactly. So I was just asking for directions because I was confused at what Google Maps was saying.
Well, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me, officer. Young lady. Could you offer me some
directions, please?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, have you heard of a bifurcate? Anyway.
So that came in from Rich P before the game, and I was a little bit worried, genuinely a little bit worried. But then this morning, I went back to SpeakPipe and checked. We had an update from Rich P.
It's 3:30 Tuesday afternoon. I'm still miles from home in Taunton. Sore throat. Head's pounding, absolutely knackered. But it was all worth it. Leeds are going up. Oh, yes. What a game. What a night. Leeds are up.
I can't tell from that clip whether he actually got to the game or not, or if he's still walking back to Taunton.
Could be.
Maybe he just abandoned his trip and thought, nah.
Just going to watch, is it Jules that Samuel L. Jackson plays?
Yeah.
In
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. He just decides to walk the earth.
Yeah.
At the end.
Just doing his thing.
Spoiler alert. Right.
I do wonder if there are plans to make a better walk to the ground. You know, given we're all looking at all the redevelopment stuff, there's been a lot of...
There's the Holbeck High Line, isn't there? They want to use the old railway viaduct.
The old viaduct is an option.
Which they need to do, because that'd be what an amazing asset that would be. Mm. Great place for all the smackheads to hang out. No. I think it'd be good. It'd be an asset. Like
a real mugging hotspot.
Yeah. Well, there's the High Line in New York, isn't there? Which I've always been desperate to go walk along, which is the old elevated railway track. And they want to do a similar sort of vibe here. But it would go from near the station to basically the top of Lowfields Road, but on the Gelded Road side.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, because apart from anything else, if they put in an extra, what they're on about going to, 56,000? It's a lot of extra cars and stuff, isn't it? A lot more people to get in and out of Elm Road. So if there was a sensible and obvious walking route, because you can walk from town, from the train station, but it ain't simple, is it? You've got to kind of know where you're going, there are bits of it where you kind of go, Is this right? This doesn't feel like the way to a football ground. Mm. Like if you're a first time fan or an away fan or something. So yeah, if they could do a clear version of it, that would be good.
Yeah, you know Andy, who was in with us visiting from the States for the promotion party. He flew in from the West Coast, and to try and get adjusted to the time differences, he tends to sort of go out on a jog because it'll help to tire him out in the city that he's in, so his body can want to sleep and try and readjust. And he sent me a picture saying that he jogged to Elland Road from town. I thought, oof. I wanted to sort of say, well, so that's a brave move. Well done. You've made it.
It's always been fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running as well, you're probably going to be all right.
Yeah. 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 You get some, it's an interesting bit of the city.
Yeah. It's full of character.
It is full of character and characters.
Yeah. And now Pete Lowy's getting his grubby hands on a bunch of land around Elland Road. Mm. It's going to be a tourist destination, a hot spot.
Mm. Or is he just going to go do what he did in Bradford and leave it as a big hole for many years?
Yeah, that wasn't great, was it? So Westfield did that. They purchased the site in the middle and then just didn't bother building the shopping centre for years.
How long was it? Was it a decade?
It was not far off, I think. Yeah,
it was empty for.
Yeah. I was going to say Google Bradford hole, but actually probably don't. Here I am.
Well, you guys are quite into your like infrastructure and transport links and stuff. Maybe we could solve it.
That's why people tune in.
Well, yeah, especially on this show. Mm. We could solve it on this show and then just send the audio to Pete Lowy and to Leeds United and say, this is how you do it, by the way.
We are primarily a civic engineering podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, completely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we joke about it, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that said, it doesn't take a huge amount of creativity to say, put some public infrastructure in, does it? But it seems to have been beyond the
wit and wisdom.
The people of Leeds for a very long time. It's like, other places seem to have like trams and like loads more trains and stuff. Should we do that? Nah, just put
a monorail
in. Maybe put like the odd bus lane in that makes things actually worse.
We should, to keep out a knacker here, we should put a bullet train in on the train line, but only the section that runs from Leeds City Station to Elland Road.
Oh, so you can do it in like 30 seconds?
Well, it'd be about 2 seconds, wouldn't it?
All right, fine.
Yeah.
I'm happy to keep him happy.
Yeah, me too.
At the cost of several billion pounds.
Right.
So let's go back to Speakpipe.
Yes.
Duncan has got a show idea for Dan.
Hello, Square Ballman. My name's Duncan, and I have been loving the content. I wanted to follow up on your idea about a live stream, and I wanted to request if we could also have Dan live streaming him re-watching his reaction on the match ball from the Swansea game and talking us through that sometime in the next week or two, if the good thing happens. I think that would be extremely entertaining. So, yeah, thanks.
I mean, no.
Someone did suggest I do a...
Oh, supercut.
A
remix of...
Yeah, I thought, well, do you know what I could? But you put these shows out and you'd just not put it out.
Yeah, you're right. Because do you know what it is? Like, I don't... like. So if we put a show out like this week, I don't mind listening to it this week when it's current. But when it's in the past, I hate listening to it.
Mm.
Just something about the way my brain works. It's like it needs to be consigned to the past and history forever, because I possibly said something silly that I don't like, or I would just go back and descend into a pit of self-loathing about something I'd said, or you know.
I think I've listened to you guys doing the Griefcast 5 or 6 times over the years.
I have gone back and listened to that, funnily enough, because it's quite funny and cathartic. Like there's a mania in the air that night, and it was an end point, was the Griefcast, because it was the end of that season.
Yeah. It was the first match ball.
Yeah, the very first.
It's what it was as well.
Yeah.
Because we had it all lined up for a big we're going to Wembley thing, was what the hope was, wasn't it?
Mm.
Because as you know, if you're up from the first leg of the playoffs, the away leg, you go through, don't you? That's basically the rule.
Yeah.
Well, pivoting from a show that Dan definitely doesn't want to do, shall we go to Adam at the bottom, who has another show idea?
Just listening to the latest members show, Highbrow, and you were talking about doing a potential spin-off. So what about a completely unhinged conspiracy theory show run by Michael, and you could call it the Flatballers Association, and just let him go nuts for an hour, fully Tom Numbers it, and just get all his crazy whack job theories out in the open.
I mean, I feel like I'm the boy with my finger in the dam at the minute anyway, stopping that. Those floodwaters coming out with this stuff.
I just think it's a crowded market as well.
Right. But it's a popular market. It could be how we actually
that's true.
Properly cross over into the mainstream.
I need what rather I really than be like need
a niche Leeds United show.
Yeah, what I really need is some sort of public shaming, which I can then turn. I can use as further evidence of how right I am.
You mean like Russell Brand has done recently?
That sort of a thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Where you can rather than address the very real issues that are being put to you, just say, oh, it's just coming for me.
Yeah,
because Michael,
you were arrested for publicly exposing your bifurcated penis.
Yeah,
they threw you in the cells
to silence me.
Yeah, it makes you think, doesn't it?
To silence me because they know about Princess Diana.
Right,
that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but and then all it needs my GoFundMe as well. Obviously, you need to do that.
Yeah,
have that fundraiser. Have that set up and ready to go. What are you fundraising for? Like to help
holiday to Tenerife
to help get me away from all this bloody awful conspiracy governmental control that they're trying to force on me.
Yeah. And how will you do that? Well, a fortnight in. A
couple of weeks in Mauritius should do it. I'll feel much better after that and I'll come back and I'll see where we go from there.
Mm.
I like how Adam there was like, we can just let Michael go nuts for an hour. Is that not what you always do?
You could say
if you're flying to Mauritius, you are there to disprove the existence of contrails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just obviously when I'm in the plane, I can be just observing the curvature.
The non-curvature.
Yeah, and whether out government are out cloud seeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the special balloons.
Is that what they do it with?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's the first floating thing that came to mind.
So,
I was going to say like a cruise ship, but they won't do that. That floats as well.
Yeah.
But in a different way.
All right.
Yep.
I see they're not going to leave us in charge of controlling the weather.
No.
But
genuinely, if you were in charge of the weather, what would you do with it? Would you go for seasons or would you just keep it all even?
Did you notice how the other day it was pissing it down? We got to the low fields. Wasn't raining then, was it?
No.
I'm making a phone call, an old-fashioned phone call gesture with my hand.
Right.
Because I rang up.
Like Joel Peru.
Yeah. And I was like, turn the rain off, coming down to the low fields soon. I don't want to get wet.
And then did you make another call and said, send the players out, we're here now.
It's like the Truman Show, wasn't it? Like, you can see the rain in front of you. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit.
So I got that switched off.
What would you do with the weather? Would you stick with the seasons or would you go for like just nice all the time? Because I don't know if you, you haven't because it's too exotic, but before I had children and I was profligate with money, I went scuba diving in the Maldives, which was amazing. But the Maldives has the same weather basically all the time. It's about 27 degrees and never changes because it's on the equator.
Mm. I think that's probably fine for the Maldives. I think if you had that everywhere, you'd probably risk complete ecological collapse,
right?
Which I would be keen to avoid.
Right.
just a hunch. It shouldn't be.
It's nice and warm and sunny everywhere, but the planet's completely fucked up.
Yeah. I feel like the seasons have worked for us so far.
As a theory, as an idea, as a brand.
As a planet, as a species.
Yeah.
We've fared well through them.
Would you stick with the ocean currents or just stop all that, knock all that on the head?
I don't really understand them, but I'd just leave them as they are.
Possibly necessary.
It probably matters to the whales and fish and stuff.
Right.
So.
And your planktons and your krill and your...
All that sort of stuff, yeah. All the migrating things. Yeah. They probably care about that, don't they? So
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Never told me.
No, I don't know. I don't really know how it works.
It's all just guesswork, isn't it?
Well, you're a geography man. Is this not part of geography?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, look, I went and got pissed at university for 3 years. I didn't really do geography.
No.
Like for my final dissertation.
You've not got your degree framed on the office wall so people can come in and be impressed by it.
I have got my degree framed, but it does just live in a wardrobe.
Fair enough.
But, have you got a picture of you with a hat and gown holding a little piece of a scroll?
It wasn't a scroll, it was a piece of plastic pipe with a ribbon tied around it.
Was it really?
That's what mine was too.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was a prop.
Again, the MSM.
You do get one in a cardboard tube, but then the prop for the picture is just so everyone gets to hold the same one.
Mm. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grubby thing.
Yeah. But for my final 10,000 word dissertation, I made up a load of research that I was supposed to do interviews with people and I couldn't really be bothered.
Yeah.
So I just made a load of stuff up. Drew some conclusions for it. 45% I got on that that assignment. 45 absolutely cruised that 2-2. Got the old Desmond.
Was that more or less than you deserved? 45%.
Oh, it was more than I deserved.
Good. Yeah,
threw it all together in about a week or two.
It's one of those our expectations were low, but Jesus Christ.
although genuinely, the topic that I did it on, national identity within the British Isles, I would be keen to explore now.
Mm. That, I think that's the problem with education. I'm much more interested in it now. I don't have to do it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I'd like to know things. I've got a thirst for knowledge, whereas then I had a thirst for drinking and partying.
But then again, I think I prefer learning stuff by listening to entertaining
football podcasts
and stuff. Or reading Wikipedia rather than having to be like, go away and turn this into something worthwhile.
Yeah, if you were forced to sit in a classroom for 8 hours a day, you'd probably be like, nah.
You see, where I did geography at Northumbria University, which used to be Newcastle Polytechnic, right? So the building was called the Lippmann Building, and it was on the sort of, I'm just thinking, it was the northwest part of the campus. And the building was orientated in such a way that it was sunny. Whenever it was sunny, it shone through the windows of the building all the time. So it was always really, really hot and stuffy. And the corridors were narrow and the rooms, I think, were quite boxy and small.
I feel like I can smell this building you're describing.
Yeah. A bit hot, mildew. Yeah.
Like hot lino and mildew.
What I'm saying is perfect sleeping conditions.
Yeah, nice.
So I was known to, I had a little snooze in the occasional lecture. You know, it's geography as well. The lecturer's at the front with the lights off. It's warm. They're talking about population density or whatever they were doing. I can't remember because I was asleep.
Longshore drift.
Correct. But that was physical geography and I went towards the human geography side of things.
Of course.
Which is basically sociology, but whatever. I had a good time though.
Good for you, man.
Just out of the classroom.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Particularly because it was free, you fucking sponger.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
I was the last year that got in, completely free. Yeah,
in before the lock. Didn't pay anything for it.
So I even got a grant. I got free money from Bradford Council.
Fucking hell.
Do you know how much I got?
Go on.
£900 for the year.
Still though, it's a fuck all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you've not contributed anything with it, have you? Waste of time.
I pay my council tax now, so it's going back into the system.
Yeah.
And I've just ordered a brown bin from them, which you've got to pay a bit extra for in Bradford, you know, to get your garden waste collected. So I'm
getting free in Wakefield.
I'm reinvesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Free garden waste.
Because they're fucking desperate, that's why. Oh, come on, please take, yeah.
Desperate for what?
Desperate for your custom.
For people to live there?
Yeah.
Come to Wakefield. What have you got to offer?
Free
jobs?
Bin.
No, not really.
Free brown
infrastructure? Mm.
We'll collect your leaves.
Cultural experiences? Mm. Anything? Yeah. Don't have to go to the tip quite as much. Yeah. Put your grass clippings in.
I bet you have to pay for a brown bin in Pontefract, but not the Laird of Pontefract. The Laird, the Crown Prince of Pontefract gets as many brown bins as he shall please.
The staff just disperse it into the orchard.
Go on, then next.
I've got a question from Ballbag.
Right.
So Ballbag is asking, is Tanaka good enough for the Premier League?
Yes, next question.
Hold on a second. Controversial opinion, but in my opinion, he is another Aronson. Half decent at this level, but weak and nowhere near good enough for next year when promoted. There is a huge talent gap between the Championship and the Premier League. Does Dan still back him as generational talent?
Yes, I do back him as generational talent. I think he's an exceptionally aware footballer, but I actually agree to a certain extent. I think he needs to beef up. I think he needs to increase his physicality and the speed at which he operates. I think he's still operating perhaps a little bit at Bundesliga 2 level, which is fine for the Championship. Needs to switch on and get accustomed to the Premier League. And I think that will possibly happen via him being used a little bit less, maybe next season. But equally, I'm in the headspace at the minute, only a few days on from promotion, of not wanting to bin all these players off immediately, even though I know some of it has to happen.
Yeah.
So I love Ao Tanaka dearly. I think he's an excellent footballer. His awareness is great. Yeah. Speed up, beef up. Job's a good one.
Mm. It's not like there aren't small midfielders in the modern game. Like, there have been some very good teams, notable teams of recent years. They've just had little midfielders.
All right, Pep.
Who've been dead, dead good. So it is possible. And like, you think of, it's weird with the step up, because some players can't do it. And then, I don't know why this name just came into my head. Do you remember the guy called Leon Britton played for Swansea?
Yeah, I thought he was a politician, Leon Britton.
Yeah, he was
different one.
Different person, and some allegations made against him. I'll let you Google that bit.
Yeah.
Not sure he was a great guy, that Leon Britton. The Leon Britton who played football, though, fine. Good no luck. Problem there whatsoever. Yeah. But when you look at his career...
He is dead, so we can't libel him.
Oh, super. What did he do then, the big nonce?
Let me just have a... Oh, yeah. On a false allegations, it's under false allegations. Oh,
okay.
But yeah, it's... Yeah, it doesn't look so pretty there on the old Wikipedia. I do hope if I ever end up with a Wikipedia page that there's no kind of controversies or, you know...
Yeah.
Incidents kind of
Swansea match ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Leon Britton, his career goes League Two, League Two, League Two, League One, League One, League One, Championship, Championship. So he's at that point, he is, and these are full seasons too, or near enough, for like 20 plus games. He's then got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's gone 8, 9, 10. He's on 10 years outside of the Premier League.
Mm.
And then he just turns up in the Premier League and plays 3 full seasons there.
Yeah, I remember him, he was all right.
And he's like, does well for Swansea.
I think Tanaka's got a lot of qualities that the Premier League needs. And I think he's certainly got potential. It's by no means a foregone conclusion that he'll be able to make the step up. But I think out of a lot of our squad, you'd back him more than others.
Mm.
Mm. He's got a bit of something about him. And I know we kind of joked about the generational talent thing, but I, you know, stop clocking all that. But I did spot it in him. He just seemed to have an awareness, situational awareness and spatial awareness that I really, really liked. But we did see him towards the end of the season getting caught in possession a little bit.
But he might be tired.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that he is, because he's played a season unlike any other there.
Mm. Yeah. So,
like, he's experienced.
So before, actually, yeah. 38 games would be even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until the year after when we're in Europe, then he might struggle a bit.
But if it's 38 games and he doesn't play every minute of all 38 and they manage his fitness and his minutes.
After this season, 38 full games would feel like a break.
Yeah.
Because it won't be, I suppose there's pressure in a relegation battle, but probably wouldn't feel quite as intense as this year, I would say.
Mm.
And you're ignoring our cup runs, of course.
Of course. Both of them. The two games we get. We've got a bit further in the FA Cup in recent years, haven't we?
Imagine if we won a cup. Imagine if we got into the Premier League and just cemented ourselves with relative ease, and just went and won a cup like Newcastle have done.
I had this thought the other day.
Won a cup.
They didn't just go and win a cup though.
No, I know, but they did win one.
They did.
They didn't just go waltz through and win it. They've had to spend a lot of money and time.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But do you know where is a really good place to celebrate that cup win as well?
Leeds.
Mm.
Don't go to Wembley.
Right.
It will be at Wembley. Can't win something not at Wembley, can we?
It's an awful place.
Until we're in Europe.
But maybe we need to win there in order to reframe our thinking about it. But
no, it's not very good. It'll never be any good. It's an evil presence about it. The whole area around it's not good.
Do you think?
I don't like the vibe of it.
Right.
It's all just too new.
Okay.
It feels like a sort of dreadful eking out of as much money as you can from a bit of space. Is kind of how the whole thing feels. Because you know those flats near it are a fortune.
I was going to say, but London is quite like that.
Well, it is, yeah. Not just London, a lot of cities are becoming like that. But you know, the fact that there's like a box park there, which you know is churning out pints for like £9 that they hope people will throw away, so they have to buy some new ones. And like the hotels there, and I know there's the little streets of old Wembley that kind of exist around it, but the new development of it makes me sick. And I think they should bulldoze it.
It does feel like inside, it does feel to me like an airport. It's like a liminal, you know, have you read about liminal spaces?
Yeah.
But it could be anywhere.
But the whole area is, all of Wembley Way is like that. It's not.
And like if you've seen Severance on Apple TV, the whole point of Severance, corridors and rooms are liminal spaces because they're anonymous and like a bit oppressive. Wembley feels a bit like that.
Yeah. That whole thing, it could be, you could take all of Wembley and the new development around it, and it could be in Berlin or Tokyo or Hong Kong, you could dump that anywhere and it'd look kind of the same. And I feel like that's a shame because
old Wembley was so charming.
Well, it was charming actually. It was shit and it was really old, but it did have a bit of something about it.
This is what's about to happen to Elland Road, mate. Sorry to be the bearer of
bad news.
Do you know what? I'll be interested.
And then
in,
they bottle that stuff around it, so they'll do the same there.
Well, that's what I was going to say, just to bring it back to that Pete Lowe, if you've seen the plans that have been released by the council, the land that the club are buying is West Stand and North Stand, the parcels of the land there, which is effectively sort of car park and a bit of the gulag.
Mm.
And there's a bit of sort of waste scrub land that's not been incorporated into the park and ride there behind the cop.
I believe that is the parking for the corporate hospitality is what that is used for, right. Even though it's on some puddle-covered gravel.
So there's that. But then all the rest of it, that whole bit, except the industrial units by the roundabout and the motorway junction, everything else has gone to Lowy, and not the ice rink, but a bit in front of it, a bit behind it, a bit to the side, has gone to Lowy. So you wonder if there's going to be some sort of massive mixed-use development that gets built there. And we may end up in an office there. Who knows? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Be right on the club's doorstep.
Paying rent to a billionaire.
But yeah, it might end up a bit like that.
Yeah.
And that's a sad thing in a way. I quite like being able to drive past Elland Road on the M621 and look at effectively a wasteland. But I don't think that many people use the park and ride, do they?
It doesn't look that full when I go past it.
It does on match days.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they are talking about removing like the only car parking near Elland Road as well in the process of doing all this, which, given it's already absolutely knackered.
Well, I suppose though, you build car parking as part of this whole development. You need to add more spaces to it and then maybe build up, which is what they'll end up doing. And you won't be able to see anything, and it'll be modern and you'll hate it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome to the future, Michael.
Good, good. Put back the warehouses that were there before. That's what I say, leave them empty.
What it does mean as well is in the future, at the minute, we can sell like the square ball and merch and stuff on council land. It's about to pass over into private hands, which means you will have to stay under the tunnel itself and not the other side of it, because that will be Pete Lowy's land.
Come on, Pete. Chill the fuck out. Give me a break.
But yeah, the under the motorway will be owned by, I suppose it'll be the roads people, won't it? The roads agency. Yeah. Highways agency will own that and maintain it, or the council or whatever.
Yeah, in fact, they own a bit at the other side, because I once got a parking ticket for parking on some cobbles at the other side of the tunnel, and I was petty enough to look it up, and it belongs to the highways agency and it's outside of the remit of the council, so they cancel my ticket.
Is that right?
Fuck off.
I love that from you. Petty.
I was just like, I don't feel like I should have got a ticket for parking here. It doesn't feel like a bit of road, and it wasn't.
That is a great way to end the show, because I was getting worried we were going to
some money saving.
You're disappearing down a cynical, unhappy tip when we started out so happy. But actually, you saved money, so you're happy, aren't you?
I think I've got a slightly better way to end the show.
Go on. Right?
And this is just a message from Blake. And we're just, you know, we're here. We're talking about Leeds United's promotion, but I think we should be fair, right? I think we should be really fair. So Blake has said, hey guys, not sure if you're feeling the same empathy and frustration at the way Sheffield United and Chris Wilder have suffered by the league's decision to deduct 2 points from them this season. Makes me sick to my stomach. I've started a petition in order to right that wrong. Get them their 2 points back in the interests of fairness and sportsmanship.
Agreed.
Justice for Wilder.
Justice for Wilder and Sheffield United. You're allowed those 2 points back. I hope you fucking choke on them.
The Square Ball Podcast.